Your morning starts now. It's the Q102 Jeff and Jen podcast, brought to you by CBG Airport. Start your trip at cbgairport.com.
With Harry and Meghan this morning.
Yeah, I mean, if you've been anywhere near any news source at all, news or entertainment source in the last 24 hours, you've heard the names Harry and Meghan, right?
Oh, yeah.
And what's going on there? The royal family is not happy that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are stepping back from the monarchy.
I knew that. Mm. I knew this was coming.
Yep. And we are hearing a source told London's Evening Standard that they're going to be punished for it. Former royal spokesman even thinks Queen Elizabeth is angrier at Harry and Meghan than she is with Prince Andrew for being involved in the Jeffrey Epstein scandal.
Wow.
That's mad.
Yeah.
Harry and Meghan told Prince Charles and Prince William an outline of their plans 10 minutes before making their announcement.
I think that's not why she's like, that's part of the reason why she's so mad. Don't you feel like this came out of nowhere?
Well, I think that she had been talking. They had been talking about this for a while and trying to come up with a plan that everyone would be happy with. And it appears that Prince Harry and Meghan didn't want to wait anymore and went ahead and made the announcement without continuing the making of the plan. And so I think that's where the big trouble is. She had wanted them to hold off, but they did not.
And you're not supposed to ever go against the queen. Like that,
especially
is,
when the queen's your grandmother.
Right. And they've been provided like a pretty amazing life by being royalty. So it's like, why can't you just listen to grandma for a little bit? I know you want to get out, because there was all this stories last night. They were talking about, I guess, Harry wanted to get out of it when he was younger, but then they decided that he could do a lot of good by staying in. And that's why he decided to stay in. But now that he has met Meghan and started the family, he wants nothing more than to just be done.
I mean, he knows he's never going to be king. She's never going to be queen. If they want to do their own thing, I think she really just feels that she's been treated unfairly. And that's what she said. She says, I knew it would be hard, but I thought it would be fair.
And as a man, you don't want to see your wife going through that, because I'm sure he's getting a lot of like pushback from her.
He
like
saw what happened to his mother.
Yeah.
He's got that in his head.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little boy when that happened. Can you imagine how traumatizing that had
been? Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. No.
Well, in other E! News this morning, Brad Pitt, congratulations. He won Best Supporting Actor for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood on Wednesday.
He won a bunch of acting awards before? I'm trying to remember.
I don't know. This was at the National Board of Review. Bradley Cooper presented him with the trophy, but apparently Bradley Cooper had already given Brad something much more valuable. Listen.
Thank you, Bradley. Bradley just put his daughter to bed and rushed over here to do this. He's a sweetheart. I got sober because of this guy.
Wow.
And every day has been happier ever since. I love you and I thank you. Well, it's nice to be able to leave this thing carrying something other than George Clooney.
Oh, that's nice.
I just pulled up like Brad Pitt awards, and he has won some stuff for like he was in 12 Years of Slave. Some stuff for Inglourious Basterds, nominated for stuff for Moneyball. But I don't think like as far as like Oscars or Golden Globes, most of these are like People's Choice, New York Film Critic Award, Spirit Award. But he did win an MTV Movie Award for Best Fight. Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh, that
in
was
the kitchen.
Good.
Yeah. There you go, Brad Pitt.
Yeah. Oh, that's
He's
funny.
Great in this movie. We got to take a break here, but.
Now, you guys, when you were kids, at least, you played McDonald's Monopoly, right? You collected those pieces.
Yes.
You were going to win that money.
I learned real quick that if you got a free small fry, you won.
Yeah, for sure. But remember, it had like a little map.
Yeah.
You had to like have the map, and you had to like, they put a little sticker on the back you could peel, and you'd have to pin it down.
My brother was really into it, yeah.
Big deal. And now finding out that you never had any chance whatsoever of winning, does that surprise you?
No.
Well, between 1995 and 2001, the game was rigged, but not by McDonald's themselves. They were paying out, but it wasn't luck that was determining the winners. A guy who was in charge of security for the company that made the game pieces was stealing them.
Yeah, he was leaking
it
to someone, right?
Yes.
I remember when this report came out.
And then he gave them to other people to cash in exchange for a cut of the winnings.
Wow.
So by the time the feds were able to break up the scam, they had 50 people up on charges of mail fraud and conspiracy.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
So HBO has gone and made a docuseries on the whole thing. It's called McMillions. Clever.
Wow.
And it premieres on February 3rd. They released the trailer yesterday. Mm. So
that's crazy.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah.
Because you got to figure, they probably only put, you know, when you're creating a game like that, you have a ton, obviously, of pieces that say you've won a free small fry.
Oh, yeah.
But they only make one, maybe two that say that
boardwalks. Yeah, that you have to have to create the hotel.
Exactly. So, I mean, your odds of winning, of course, are going to be very slim to begin with.
Right.
But if the dude is stealing the only one or two pieces.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And imagine, too, if somebody approaches you with that, you know, a guy on the inside,
mm-hmm.
he's like, all you got to do, I'm giving you a gift here. All you got to do is give me a
cut. Cash it in. Yeah.
There aren't a lot of people, I don't think, that would say no because they're thinking, how's it ever going to get back to me?
If it ain't me, it's going to be somebody else.
Right. So you figure they all got busted, too.
They did because there's 50 people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where can we watch this? Netflix?
HBO.
HBO.
Mm-hmm. Mm. See, you laughed at the headline, but it's actually a pretty interesting story.
Oh,
isn't
yeah.
it?
I love the McDonald's Monopoly game. I used to play all the time. I'd get excited. I'd have my game pieces, yeah. and I would always just be one away.
Of course.
I'd have everything.
I had it.
And now, yeah. now you're finding out that this is the guy that kept you from the millions.
Right.
How bitter are you?
Adam Sandler has two daughters under the age of 13, and he doesn't want them to ever see Uncut Gems, his latest movie.
Has anybody seen that one yet?
Critically acclaimed movie.
No, I have not.
I was looking at the Rotten Tomatoes score, which was very high, but it's interesting, you know, how quite often, you know, you'll see movies that the critics hate, but the fans love, or critics love, the fans hate, and this seems to be doing well. He's got like a 90-something percent Rotten Tomatoes, and I think according to Fandango, he was in the 80s, which is pretty good. And, you know, it's him kind of stepping out of his comfort zone. He said, I knew it was a great movie when I read the script, but I don't like jumping into sexual stuff. Certainly me with my shirt off is not something fun to see, but my wife encouraged me to do it. I hope my kids never see it for their own safety. He also admitted that an Oscar nomination next week is a long shot, but he said, I know it would make a lot of people laugh, and it would make a lot of people happy around me.
I remember when Adam Sandler was cut, though. Do you remember? He was hot on MTV.
He was very ripped.
He was.
During his, SNL days and stuff, when they show old footage of him, he was quite small almost.
So I bet he still looks pretty good.
Yeah.
He's just being a little
so too.
Would it be great if he got a nomination though? I mean, the guy that's probably gotten more Razzies, than most actors in Hollywood.
He's up there, leading with the most nominations for sure. But you bring up the Oscars and they announced the nominees on Monday, and the Hollywood Reporter has some predictions, and they're using math. They have a method that weighs data from other award shows based on how predictive that data has been in the past. And they didn't release the exact formula, but they did come up with who the expected nominees are going to be in the major categories.
Hmm.
So, I mean, it looks and who's going to win. So I think it's kind of fun to take a look at. I think, Best Picture, The Irishman, 1917, Parasite, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Marriage Story.
Crazy.
Was it? What is that about?
So it's about this beautiful, wealthy family in Korea, and they hire. It's about these people who are struggling, who are like poor, not homeless, but just it's a poor family that mm-hmm. manages to kind of like worm their way into the service of this family. And it shows there's a big contrast between their lives, obviously, and how they sort of interconnect and how it just sort of explodes and goes haywire. So they have this really big house and you learn all these family secrets, and there's this big climax at the end that is just shocking, but it's beautifully written. It's well done. You don't see what's coming. And
it's subtitles too, right?
It is subtitles because it's in Korea. But yeah, I mean, it's basically the class. It highlights the class differences in society and how, you know, the rich versus the poor live. But in this particular movie, they kind of clash and intersect in a very bizarre way.
I really do feel like I just need to take a day and lock myself in my house because there are things that I haven't seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I want to see Marriage Story. I still haven't seen Joker, and I really want to see that badly. And, you know,
you got to be in a frame of mind to see that movie.
Joker. I know. I know it's very dark, but it's mental illness. And I want to. But so the Joker's on the list, Marriage Story's on the list, Jojo Rabbit, Little Women, Ford versus Ferrari, and the Two Popes.
Oh, I want to see Ford versus Ferrari.
It was fun.
You watched it, right?
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah.
So we'll see.
I'll
Monday
watch
morning
them when
they
come on TBS in like 2 years. That's usually when I catch up with them.
And you know how they say they shouldn't remake good movies; they should remake bad movies and make them better.
Uh-huh.
This is an example of Hollywood doing the exact opposite of that. There's been some unconfirmed talk that Universal is planning to remake Jaws, which Jaws is a movie. It came out many years ago, but to this day, it is a damn near perfect movie. And supposedly they want Andy Muschietti to direct it. He directed the recent It movies, and he's also working on a remake of the classic werewolf flick, The Howling. Steven Spielberg directed the original Jaws, which is now 45 years old, if you can believe that.
Really?
Yeah, they're hoping he'll produce the remake, that he'll be on board and support this.
Well, I could just imagine, I mean, the special effects that they could do now that they couldn't 45 years ago. That piece of it I can see.
It wouldn't be a mechanical shark anymore. It would be like CGI.
It'd be like the real deal.
Yeah. I remember going to Universal with you, Jeff, and you get on isn't that Universal where you get on the Jaws ride and you're on the tram and they roll you out onto like the lake.
Yep.
And they're like, be careful, there might be something in the water, and then you see the mechanical fin come through the water and then it comes up out of the water kind of like at you.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
it's supposed to be like what it looked and it was,
that's
right?
that's exactly what they used in the movie. They used a mechanical shark, and it's not that unrealistic. I mean, when it comes out of the water, if you're not expecting it and you've never taken the tour before, there is a moment where you're like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. That's good.
Like
that's pretty good.
The track kind of like leans down into the water and it comes up. So,
yeah. So you feel like you're about to fall in just as it approaches. It's pretty good. But yeah, you'd figure 45 years later, the technology is probably a lot better.
Thanks for listening to the Q102 Jeff and Jen Morning Show podcast, brought to you by CBG Airport. Start your trip at cbgairport.com.